broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am Sam Bushman. This is the broadcast for September the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. Becky Akers with me. She's a freelance writer and a historian and a whole lot more. She's the author of two books, Hail Storm, about Nathan Hale and Abducting Arnold, The Other Side of the Benedict Arnold Story. Search for them by name today, Becky Akers, Hail Storm, Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold. We're talking about these dishonest reality checks in life via the COVID. They're literally creating a bioweapon, intentionally releasing it, globally speaking, to create a tyranny. And they're after us all, ladies and gentlemen. You're all in the crosshairs. And they've literally let so many people die because of government laws and guidelines and rules and regulations that make it impossible for you to get the treatments that you need. Any treatment that you bring up to try to solve the problem they sell you is worthless, bad, doesn't work. The only answer is to go get the vaccination. The problem is the vaccination doesn't help you when you're sick, first of all. Secondly, a lot of people are dying and getting all kinds of illnesses from the experimental bioweapon. So you got a bioweapon released by gain-of-function research via Fauci and the communist Chinese, and then you got the bioweapon anecdote. The anecdote, the cure might be worse than the, it's just insanity. Anyway, now they say COVID vaccines, this is the CDC, COVID vaccines are less effective at preventing hospitalizations. Why? Because of the Delta variant. So the vaccines, you know, miss the mark. It's kind of like the flu vaccines. Every year they run around and they're like, let's see, which flu strains should we put in this thing? And they put their best guess together, put three or four of them in, and they're like, oh, we did good this year. Then the next year they're like, oh, man, we did bad. We missed it. It's not, you know, not very effective. And they do this every single year. Just imagine if they have three booster shots with all kinds of strains of coronavirus running around, using all weird alphabet, delta, gamma, whatever, alpha, what, beta, and it's just insanity running around, missing the mark left and right. The danger, the disaster from the disease. What's worse, the vaccine, the disease, the bioweapon, the anecdote to the bioweapon. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. But it gets better in many ways because more and more Americans are realizing it's a con game, and they're calling a halt to it. Headline says this, Becky Akers: resistance to vaccine mandates grows among tens of thousands of Americans. We're getting sick of it. We're starting to flex our muscle and say, this is bogus. I just hope tens of thousands turned into hundreds of thousands, turns into millions, Becky.
Yeah, you know, it's really inspiring to see how the French are dealing with this. Their president has imposed a vaccine passport requirement on virtually all indoor activities. Okay, so if you want to go out to dinner in Paris, you must show a vaccine passport. Well, what the French did in response was sit down with their own picnic lunches outside restaurants in the street by the hundreds of thousands of people. So if you can get pictures of Parisian streets, you will see they are filled with picnickers. They're not going into the restaurants. Now, why is that significant? I'm assuming the restaurant lobby in Paris, given how important it is as an industry and as a stream of revenue to the city, probably exercise a lot of political power. Those owners will go to the president and say, look, you got to repeal this. We're dying. We need some creativity like that here. We need to picket places that are imposing vaccine passports, such as Walmart. Okay. It is requiring its employees to get the jab. It's just a short step from that to requiring all customers to prove their medical status. And let me ask this, Sam, since when has it been anyone's business what your medical history is? I'm astounded.
In fact, Becky, there's laws to say you can't even discuss that, right?
That's correct. And yet there are hundreds, perhaps millions of employers who feel perfectly free to not only inquire what their employees' status is as far as health goes, but then to dictate medical procedures to them. You have to wear a mask. Did everybody know that is considered a medical device and that it is illegal for anyone to prescribe a medical advice who does not have a medical license? Okay, that means your employer is breaking the law when he requires you to wear a mask. Now, I'm not in favor of that law. I'm not in favor of medical licensing. I'm just pointing this out, that in quest of the COVID narrative, laws are being broken right and left that normally would have all the statists who are promoting this pandemic up in arms. They're not saying boo to a goose because it's fulfilling their objective to control us. Okay? Just look around and you'll see again, you don't need to research all this intensively as Sam and I do. All you need to do is use your own common sense.
Let's take this example to make the point, Becky. Here's a great example. Now, I'm not usually very high on judges, okay? Usually what I say is whenever you have a chance to retain or dismiss a judge at the voting booth, dismiss every one of them, okay? So I'm not really a judge guy. I think that they've overreached. They're tyrannical. If you want to see tyranny, just watch a judge get somebody cross a judge in a way that they don't like, and they just go ballistic, just showing that they're just drunk with power and everything else. But this judge I kind of like. Headline says this: judge orders Ohio hospital to treat COVID-19 patient with ivermectin despite CDC warnings. Now, here's the story. A Butler County judge in Ohio is who we're talking about. And I guess this guy got sick, went into the hospital. Now, the judge is Gregory Howard. Good for Judge Howard in this case. I guess there's a guy, let's see, it's in the Capital Journal. They say this Smith guy is 51 years old. He's a Verizon wireless engineer or whatever. Anyway, he went in sick as a dog, eventually got on a ventilator, and eventually the hospital's like, we've done everything we can for him. He's going to die. We're out of choices. We don't know what else we can do. So his wife, Julie, said, well, why don't we try ivermectin? And they're like, oh, no way. The CDC says we're not doing that. That might harm people. So we can't do that, for crying out loud. No, no, ma'am. Well, Julie didn't take no for an answer. And so Julie basically, her name is Julie Smith. And I guess what happened is eventually the ventilator got operating at 80% volume, and they're just like, hey, there's nothing we can do. So then Julie says, I cannot give up on my husband, even though the hospital the defendant has. All right. So she says there is no reason that the defendant, meaning the hospital, can't authorize other treatments so long as the benefits outweigh the risks. And she's saying, my husband's on a ventilator. He's going to die. Why can't we try this? Well, they're saying no. But here's the deal. Julie went on the internet just as Becky and I are saying you should do. Study, learn, look around. So Julie had read about some lawsuits reported by the Chicago Tribune and the Buffalo New York News about patients experiencing severe conditions from COVID, about to die on ventilators, and they got, by court order, prescribed ivermectin. And these patients have won lawsuits, and these patients, many of them, have gotten well. All right. Anyway, the people in these cases were represented by an attorney by the name of Ralph Larigo. Anyway, so Julie requested that the hospital treat her husband with ivermectin. She said, I'll also release you from any responsibility in this because I have no choice. He's going to die anyway. I got to do something. So the hospital said no. So Julie went to one of the frontline doctors, ladies and gentlemen. She sought medical advice from Dr. Fred Wagschel, or Wagschel. I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry. So then he prescribed ivermectin for the patient. The hospital refused to administer it and refused her to go and administer it as well. So then she was prompted to, and she filed a lawsuit with a hospital with absolutely nothing to lose, with little or no risk. So they said, hey, there's no basis for denying this prescription from Dr. Wagschel, and there's no reason we can't give this. Anyway, it turns out that Wagschel is a member of the frontline critical care doctors in the nonprofit organization set up by Pierre Corey and others. So anyway, the bottom line is that the hospital is now forced by the judge to prescribe ivermectin. And I think this is an example where his wife, Julie, is doing her very best for her husband. She researched solutions. The hospital threw up their hands in defeat because, again, the CDC says that's not an option, so the hospital ain't going to go there. It's too politically liable and everything else. The battle rages. They go to court. The judge sides with the wife, and now he's getting ivermectin. I don't know if it'll be too late in his case because once you're on a ventilator for too long, sometimes your lungs are beyond repair. So I don't know if he will recover or not. I pray that he does. But I'm just telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, that this is serious. They say federal agencies still oppose ivermectin for COVID-19. But the judge gets it and defended her. Why can't she give her husband this when they're out of options? Why not? And this is the example of these people are just so doubled down, doing everything they can to promote pro-death. They're not looking for creative solutions. They're not going, well, golly, he's going to die anyway. Why not? Why not? Why not give this a shot? Why not give it some hope? Why not see if we can't help out here? First, do no harm used to be their view. Now, I don't know if this guy's vaccinated or not. I don't know anything about it. I just know this. Good for Julie, the wife, for looking around, as Becky says, and researching. Good for the wife insisting on this thing. I will not give up on my husband like you people already have. The medical profession just gave up and said, we're out of choices. Then they opposed solutions that many, many, many physicians and scientists say works, and I'm here to testify absolutely works. Now the judge says, give it a try. Good for the judge for once. Hang tight. Becky's response in seconds.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
I'll just highlight one last lie from the CDC, and then we'll turn it over to Becky. The CDC mocking ivermectin says this: such high doses can be highly toxic in humans. I guess that's what the FDA says. But I got a question for the thugs at the FDA. Isn't too much of anything bad for you? High doses of water can make you sick and kill you. High doses of anything can be out of control. Obviously, you need to prescribe the proper amounts of these medications. Now, just so you know, high doses of the COVID vaccine will kill you. I mean, just put 50 times the amount that they normally do and see what happens. 100 times, 1,000 times. Okay, they're using this to scare people from solutions that can save your life. I'm here to prove it. Becky.
Sam, I can't say enough bad things about any government bureaucracy, whether it's the CDC or the FDA. we need to remember that public health quote. You know, that's been the whole excuse all through this pandemic. Public health is at stake. Now, we need to remember this is a Marxist construct. It was popularized in the 19th century just as progressivism was taking over the United States. It really came into its own during the early part of the 20th century. Public health is violative of the normal principles on which medicine operates. Okay, for instance, what public health does, like all true Marxism, is it groups people into categories and communities, quote. Okay, a public health doctor then studies data from this group. He's not treating individual patients, nor is he receiving their consent first. Now that's huge, folks. That's huge. Okay? In other words, when you go to your doctor, he compiles a number of data points on you, and this is what public health bureaucrats do, is they get access to all this data without your consent. It belongs to you, but they don't ask your permission. And then they analyze it all, and they come up with things like everybody should wear seatbelts, and smoking's really bad for you. Okay, why are we giving these pointy-headed
having guns in your home could be fatal, Becky.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I didn't get into the modern interpretation of all this, but yeah, they used to stick to things that had some kind of medical application. Now they're free-ranging. There's been a lot of public health chatter about parental responsibility, Sam, in addition to gun ownership. You know, guns are really bad.
So another judge basically asked a woman in the middle of a court case if she was vaccinated. She said no, and I'm not because I have some underlying conditions where the doctors are recommending I don't. He just said, okay, you're banned from seeing your child until you get vaccinated.
Yes.
And literally then the nation went crazy over this. Now the judge has reversed his decision and said, okay, I guess you can see your kid. But this is the kind of tyrannical abuse we're seeing.
That we're getting from bureaucrats, Sam. These people are not elected. They are bureaucrats appointed and hired on by these bureaucracies, and we have allowed them to usurp our world and to control our lives. Why? It's time we all stood up against the sham of public health and revealed it for what it is. It is a disguised Marxism, a disguised Marxist thrust to get more control over us physically, as well as every other way. So anything that the CDC or the FDA says, I just discount. You were mentioning before how untrustworthy government is and how we can all tell the truth if a lot of people are standing up against it. And that's pretty much my rule of thumb, Sam. If the government says it, I think the opposite.
Sadly, that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. You know, Ronald Reagan, of all people, said trust but verify. And my response is they've broken our trust so many times. So many times, ladies and gentlemen, why would I trust? Okay, whether I verify or not, why would I trust? They have broken my trust everywhere. There's a friend of mine. He's a well-known guy. His name is Pat. And he wrote a book called Everything They've Ever Told Me Was a Lie. And he covers just issue after issue after issue to where they've lied on so many things. They don't deserve my trust anymore, Becky. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Oh, anyone in government lies. He lies the way we breathe. Okay, whether you're a bureaucrat, you're a politician, even if you're just a standard thug on the street wearing a badge, these people lie. It is institutionalized in government. They lie. I don't know if it's because they think lies are noble. You know, there's always been that concept that if rulers must lie, and I understand Fauci is a big proponent of this, that he has to lie to us for our own good. So, okay, maybe these sociopaths truly look at it that way. We're just all so stupid, and they need to lie to us for our own good. But whatever the case may be, they lie. They don't speak the truth. You can document it over and over and over again until you are sick. By the way, the media now is falling into the exact same pattern. If you read it in a traditional newspaper in a mainline publication, chances are it is a flat-out lie. Sam, did you discuss the FDA's, quote, approval of the vaccine?
Yeah, there's a big battle about the, quote, experimental biological, in my opinion, biological weapon, was used. Then they authorized this, quote, approved version. And now we find out the approved version and the, quote, experimental version aren't even the same. And right now the one version is approved, but yet they don't have any available. So they're still using the experimental version. They're baiting and switching and playing games. And if that's really true, the real version that they've got approved now hasn't gone through the testing at all.
That's right. And what was every headline? Vaccine approved, vaccine approved, vaccine approved. They never, ever told the truth on that it was not approved. It's still an emergency use authorization. What they approved is a vaccine that Pfizer is working on. Okay, it's not even on the market yet. So this is what I mean. The media lies about everything all the time. They are as bad as politicians. If you are seeing it on television, if you are hearing it on a mainstream news radio station, if you are seeing it in a traditional newspaper publication, one of the USA Today, or if Associated Press wrote it, or if Reuters is putting it out, it is a lie. More likely than not, it is a lie. These people can't even get the weather correct. Why are we trusting them with life and death issues such as COVID-Con?
It's beyond imagination, ladies and gentlemen, what we're dealing with here. But you know what? There are people starting to stand up. There's not enough of us, I understand. Not even close to enough, ladies and gentlemen. But there are people standing up. Okay? There is a case in Michigan where the state of Michigan is demanding the blood of newborns. So the DNA of newborns. It was going on for quite some time, this battle. Judge issues ruling. Now law enforcement is accessing these samples of babies' DNA data. Well, now the judge has reached a conclusion in Michigan. This has been going on in Texas and other states too, let's be clear. But the judge says this is likely unconstitutional now. The issue has arisen in other states before, including Minnesota, where a successful fight was brought against the state government by the Citizens Council for Health and Freedom over acquisition and ownership of the DNA of newborns. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. But the bottom line is there's battles being won across the country over government's right to collect your blood, your DNA, and use it in all kinds of ways. The cops, whoever else needing to use it. Now the people are pushing back enough. And in Michigan, the judge is saying, hey, this is unconstitutional, guys. You can't be doing this kind of stuff. Now, I don't know if the judge is a great person. I don't know if the judge, I just don't know. I'm just telling you there are wins when people stand up, Becky.
Absolutely, Sam. An unrelated issue, but the same idea where people are confronting taxpayers and parents are saying, you can't do this to our children anymore. There's been a number of victories at school boards. Parents are irate over the Marxist indoctrination of their kids with critical race theory, okay? And they have been showing up at school boards. The other issue that has a lot of parents motivated are the mandatory diapers that they are forcing these children to wear on their faces, which is extremely harmful, hurts the kids' physical and emotional development, hampers their learning, gives them headaches, makes them dizzy. You could just go down a list, a very lengthy list of all the harmful effects masks have. Parents are turning out to school boards and they are taking these petty tyrants to task and saying, you're not going to indoctrinate my child and you're not going to force him to wear a diaper on his face all day. Not going to happen. So I applaud all of you. Keep standing up against these tyrants.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, I want to talk about a couple of different topics. First one, I wrote the headline, says lies, lies, and more lies. America's longest immoral, unjust, unconstitutional criminal war ends. We'll talk about it on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An MH-60S helicopter from the USS Abraham Lincoln crashed into the sea while conducting routine flight operations about 60 nautical miles off the coast of San Diego, California, Tuesday afternoon. One person was rescued and five others were missing. Multiple Coast Guard and Navy planes and boats were conducting the search and rescue operation. The Caldor Fire in Northern California continued to intensify overnight and is threatening nearly 34,000 structures as it headed towards South Lake Tahoe. All residents of South Lake Tahoe and some Nevada towns have been ordered to evacuate. Winds and very dry conditions are predicted for Wednesday. As Hurricane Ida, now a remnant low, winds down over the eastern United States, central Pennsylvania, all the way through parts of southern New England and southern Connecticut, be prepared for very heavy rain and some flash flooding. There's a chance of severe weather, including tornadoes, around the Baltimore, D.C. area Wednesday. USA Radio News.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM 197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
Republican Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado on Tuesday called for the impeachment of President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken over the U.S. exit strategy from Afghanistan.
That I would do everything in my power as a United States Congresswoman to get rid of Joe Biden. We were sent to Washington to represent the American people, not to watch our country give away billions of military equipment to known terrorists, not to sit idly by waiting for the next election, and certainly not to put up with an inept, weak, and incapable regime.
Gene Simmons of KISS has mild COVID-19. Dan Naraki reports.
Rock band KISS has postponed more dates on its end-of-the-road tour after frontman Gene Simmons tested positive for COVID-19. According to a statement from the band, Simmons is experiencing mild symptoms. His bandmate Paul Stanley tested positive last week, prompting the initial batch of postponements. The band and their crew, who are all vaccinated, are quarantining for the next 10 days and hope to resume their tour on September 9th in Irvine, California.
USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, they love to distract us with one or two issues. COVID has got us focused today. Right at the bottom of the hour, they say KISS. The rock and roll band Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley or whatever now have the COVID. They want you to believe that these breakthrough cases for vaccinated are very rare. But I got a question for them. If it's so rare, how do two of the band members that are both vaccinated have the COVID then? Answer, because it's not as rare as you think, ladies and gentlemen. Even if it was 50-50, you would say, well, one guy that was vaccinated had a breakthrough, but the other guy is fine. No, both of them got it. How's that? The answer is it's not rare at all. They're lying to you. The proof is in the pudding. All you got to do is pay attention to the bottom of the hour news to see what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I want to switch to war because there's lies, lies, and more lies. They want you to believe that America's longest war came to an end. But ladies and gentlemen, that's lies, lies, and more lies. First off, America's longest, immoral, unjust, unconstitutional, criminal invasion of another country might be officially ending, but let's not call it a war. No one ever declared war. Okay? Let's be honest with ourselves, constitutionally speaking. It's the supreme law of our land, I might clarify. And they want you to believe that we're at a war, legitimately so, for 20 years, and now it's ended. Well, first off, we lost big in that. They got all kinds of billions of military dollars of military hardware. We failed just like we did in Vietnam. Every time we get involved in one of these criminal enterprises, every time we involve ourselves in these ungodly, unjust, immoral wars, it doesn't go well. Every time we breach the sovereignty of other nations and run around and just attack everybody and fund both sides of wars and make deals with the devil, so to speak, and everything, it always goes bad. It always has and always will. And so, Becky, I don't want them just to be able to say, oh, we ended this, the longest war we've ever been in. No, no, no. I want to call it an unjust, immoral, criminal invasion of another country instead, because I want to call a spade on this thing. I think it's important for people to understand what we've been doing for the last couple of decades to the tunes of billions of dollars, to the tunes of death everywhere. This is what we've been doing. America is supposed to be a light on a hill, a Christian nation with leadership, not a pro-war attack nations violate sovereignty bunch of thugs. What's going on around here? And so we can't just let this go without making sure we clarify, Becky.
Oh, I could not agree more, Sam. I wonder how many of us would cotton to the idea of Iran coming here and launching a war. How many of us would welcome the Afghan army here to trespass in our country and tell us how to do things? Sam, I read a fascinating column yesterday, and I'm going to pass this on since we're speaking about war and the withdrawal from Afghanistan. This was purportedly written by an ex-intel agent, and he says there has been so much malfeasance throughout these 20 years, so much corruption, so many billions of dollars that have disappeared into various generals' pockets, into various combatants' pockets. He says all of this botched withdrawal is an attempt to distract the American people from everything that has been going on in Afghanistan. And he didn't limit it to just financial corruption either. He said the atrocities that have been committed there are truly astounding, and that if we knew, we would rise up and overthrow the usurper's administration. So now again, I'm passing this on. I don't have any facts to back this up. I don't know who this man is. It was published
anonymously. Well, hold on. There's a lot of evidence about the malfeasance and the waste and the misuse and the criminal activity that's been going on. That's been documented quite a bit. So, you know, whether this actual factual account is, you know, boots on the ground reality check or not, I can't confirm, but I can say in general, we've got a lot of sources telling us about the abuses that have taken place though. So, I'm not saying it's not a credible report, and I'm not saying it's not valuable to read and understand, but I guess I'm saying there's more to this than meets the eye. That's without a doubt.
Absolutely. So we should all keep that in mind. His point was that this was all planned, that the usurper's administration decided to have a very chaotic and withdrawal so that we would all focus on that instead of the corruption and the atrocities. You know, again, Sam, this withdrawal has struck me as an awful lot like the plandemic. It is so very over the top. You just stand, sit there and you think, this can't possibly be actually happening unless it was planned to happen this way. Because, you know,
what they want you to believe is Grandpa Confused Joe just, you know, told everybody to do everything, and there was just no organization. The incompetence got us. Oh, my goodness. They always want to blame it on that. They always want you to believe that, oh, my goodness, we're sorry, we misstepped on this one. We stepped in it. We didn't mean to. We'll make sure we put protocols in place to prevent that in the future. We're so sorry. What you got to understand is that's the lie. That's their cover. That they always do that. The truth is this was planned. It was orchestrated with precision, and it was created to maximize casualty, to maximize confusion, to betray those who in good faith meant well. And it's to really create greater and greater and greater hatred around the world for the United States of America. We're way worse off this 20 years later than we were to start. We should have never went in. A humble foreign policy, a non-interventionist foreign policy is the only way to go. George Washington of yesteryear and even Ron Paul and others now are speaking out about this. The Republicans claim they have that. They're not very hawkish when they run for office, but the second they get in, they become military-industrial complex psychotic and spend and blow up and whatever, everything all day long, saying this idea that if you go over there, then we won't have war over here. But why we're in these nations, militarily speaking. Now, they want you to believe we're out of the war. Thank heavens we've stopped this war. But do you realize we're still in 130 nations, militarily speaking, around the world right now? So even the idea that we've backed out of much is a lie. We've just simply, you know, insert ourselves and then leave and insert ourselves and leave, creating hatred around the world. This is a pattern been going on. The CIA has documented the blowback principle on this. This is by stratagem to create hatred, to foment anger and war around the world. This is nothing new. We've watched it, we see it, and we know that we are the primarily the homogenous provocateur agitator. And we've done so, what, since the 50s or before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is a long term, ladies and gentlemen, nothing new. And I'm telling you right now that it's going to come home to roost. You watch. Write it down. I pray that it doesn't, but predict it will, Becky.
Oh, it already has. That's why all of us should be opposed to this empire. Because when an empire figures out how to rule people overseas, it uses those same tactics here. Okay? How many cops now are ex-military? How many cops are going around treating Americans like harassed subjects? Okay? Do they interact with us as though we are free people? No. How will they treat us like we are?
Get closer to your mic, Becky, if you can.
They treat us like we are serfs overseas. And they have been taught to go into a foreign country and to swagger around and to present themselves as conquerors. That's how they're interacting with us. The TSA Sam, all of that. Okay, that was blowback, supposedly, if you buy the official story from 9/11. Okay, we are paying for the misadventures overseas because we are the ones suffering at airports when the TSA sexually assaults passengers to get on planes. So you need, all of us need to be incredibly opposed to this empire, the American empire, okay? And the American empire is following the same wicked path as the Roman Empire and the British Empire and all other empires throughout history, okay? As soon as you get into an empire, you find liberty is almost dead, and you find that foreigners paved the way for abuses at home. The abuse of a foreign conquered people is how the government will treat its people at home. It's taxpayers, the one paying to abuse foreigners. It comes home to roost.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I had to just kind of say my piece on this supposed ended war. What they want you to believe is now, thank heavens, we're out of that. It didn't go well. We're so sorry. We kind of misstepped. But the good news is we're out. And my response is we're not even close to out, ladies and gentlemen. We left a bunch of people behind enemy lines in this case. I'm not so sure that many of these groups are our enemies. They've been fighting in their own internal battles for centuries over things that we can't even understand or agree upon or anything else. And why we're even involved there, why we even breach their sovereignty, why we think we are somehow superior or have the right way to live or whatever else. Hey, I think we need to spend a little time at home and get our own act in order. Right now, we got a corrupt government to the hilt as well. We've got all kinds of problems in America and everything else. And the whole world is right now stepping back going, who are you guys to breach the sovereignty of every nation on the planet and act like you're superior and you have the ways to you know, freedom and safety and God? And, you know, who do you think you are? And that's what's starting to happen. China literally doubling down and already agreeing to work with the Taliban. Taiwan's going to be in trouble here pretty quick because of the belligerent communist Chinese. You know, Cuba's on, steroids to go ahead and continue communism. We've got communism leaders right in our government now. Just look at Kamala Harris, for example. People are saying Joe's out of control and you got to have him resign. What are you going to do? Have Kamala Harris take the helm? Are you kidding me right now? She slept her way to the top and she has ties to communism. Anyway, I digress, except to say, don't believe we're out of the wars, ladies and gentlemen. We're as hawkish as we've always been, creating hatred, gendering hatred around the world. Quick pause. Final segment in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? in churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Becky Akers on your radio. Lies, lies, and more lies everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I think you need to hold Congress responsible, though, for this non-declared 20-year fiasco. You know, they just let the president unilaterally act on this, and presidents from both sides of the aisles, including Donald, I might add, have just been hawkish and at war, and no one's had the guts to get out of this thing. I'm not really a fan of Joe Biden, but I am saying, hey, at least we're out of somewhere. Let's get out of more places. Let's take the pattern and get out of all unconstitutional, unjust wars, all places where we're breaching the sovereignty of foreign nations and have really no authority to do so. Let's get out of it all, and let's reduce our expenditures big time. But anyway, I digress. All I'm saying is that Congress, though, is the ones that hold the purse strings, at least according to the supreme law of the land. And Congress is the one that is supposed to declare war. And so if we're going to be there, let's have Congress declare war and let's hold them accountable and let's have a mission and let's get in and let's get out and let's get it done. But Congress has literally, in my opinion, been involved in a dereliction of duty, and they've literally transferred their authority on war. Go look at your Constitution if you don't believe me. To one man. And if it goes well, then they want to praise them and I'll take credit. If it goes bad, they want to leave the president out to dry on it. Which is a sad reality check. But the checks and balances are very clear according to our supreme law of the land. And those who have advocated or who have obfuscated their responsibility or whatever you want to say, unconstitutionally transferred their responsibility to another branch of government, shame on those criminals too. Shame on them. Let's stand for the supreme law of the land. All right, final story of the hour that I want to get your take on, Becky. There's a congressman. His name is U.S. Representative Madison Cawthorn. He's of North Carolina, and he's predicting bloodshed if elections in America continue to be rigged. And so we can debate the rigged all day, but he's saying, hey, if this continues, there's going to be bloodshed in America. And I unfortunately think that he's right, whether it be elections, whether it be forced vaccinations, whether it be forced climate change, which they're starting to back into. They're trying, eventually going to tie vaccinations and climate change together, and you'll have these climate credits, just communist Chinese style about how well you take care of or don't take care of the environment. And they're creating this whole scenario. But every one of these issues has the potential literally to take divided America over the precipice, across the Rubicon, whatever term you want to use. And I pray this congressman's wrong, but I'm predicting that he's right. There's too many trigger points, and they're bringing us to the brink on all of them. At some point, a levee's going to break. I don't want it, but I'm telling you, I see it. And I think he's bringing up a very, very important point that we ought to be cognizant of and we ought to be acquainted with. Becky?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And he's not the only one saying this. I don't really attribute too much intelligence to any Congress critter. I think that the worst of the worst and the dumbest of the dumbest are what populate the halls of government. So anyone with even half a brain can look out there and say, look, when you are forcing people to take a jab that will seriously injure their health or they have to quit their jobs, okay, I just read a heartbreaking story from a reader who told me he knows somebody in the armed forces who was forced to take the jab. He does not want it. They told him, look, either take it or you're going to have to start your discharge paperwork. And because he cannot afford, he has a special needs child, and he needs the insurance that the armed forces give, okay? That's another thing, folks. All our money is going into the pockets of soldiers and sailors and Marines. that's what it costs to keep an empire going, all right? But at any rate, he was forced to choose, do I sacrifice my health for my child or what? But this is all by way of saying, Sam, that, yeah, we are in diabolical times. Satan is stalking this earth, and all of us need to stand up against this horrific evil.
There's no doubt about it. The evil is at unprecedented levels. But it's up to you and I to turn to God and to repent and to stand for what is right. Right can outflank and outgun, pardon the term, evil easily if we make sure that happens.
And Sam, this oncoming war that many folks are looking at, you know, again, you deprive people of their jobs and their kids go hungry. There's only so long a man, a real man, will sit and listen to his children cry from hunger when the government is keeping him from working before he'll take up a gun and he'll go fight the bureaucrats and the politicians. So I don't see any way that we're going to avoid it, quite frankly. If the Democrats and the Marxists keep pushing this agenda that, you know, making second-class citizens of people who are refusing the shots, I don't see how we'll avoid war. You can't continue. We learned this with the way we treated American Indians and the way that Black Americans were treated for decades. Okay? You can't keep pushing people down. They eventually get tired of it and they rise up. And by the way, American Indians and Black Americans were a much smaller minority than the half of Americans who have refused the jab. I haven't seen. And I have great skepticism for all these figures. I think that the media lies, and I think the CDC lies when it talks about how many people have been vaccinated, because they want us to think it's almost everyone. So I don't even know that it's as much as half. But let's say for sake of argument,
they basically admitted that they've lied, because they literally tracked, what is it, 37 million Americans now or something like that, that they claim have, you know, tested positive for the COVID. But then they, Fauci even said if the cycles are too high on the test, it makes everything turn positive, and that's a problem, and the cycles have been too high. The second thing then they said was, you know, at the end of it, they said, well, we really can't tell the difference between flu cases and COVID cases. And so now all the data is absolutely completely worthless under their own admission.
And they lie. They lie all the time. So anything involving numbers, I don't think they do anything. I think they just pull these numbers out of the air. And the number of people who've gotten the jab versus the number they haven't. But let's say for sake of argument, it's half Americans have been jabbed so far and half are not, and half are going to continue refusing. I was so amused, Sam, at the media representation with the FDA did not approve the jab, but the media was reporting that they had. How that was, all of a sudden, all of us were going to line up and get our shots because now it's been approved by a government we distrust. But at any rate, I digress. When you go treat half your population as if they're lepers, as if they are unclean, you start barring them from civilized pursuits like dinner in a restaurant and a concert. You start telling them you have to show proof that you've gotten our jab before we'll let you work and earn a salary. No, half your population is not going to tolerate that for very long. And this is being calculated to bring about a war that will further divide us and further pit us against each other. What we need to concentrate on is that the neighbor next door is not our enemy. Our enemies are in D.C., our state capitals, our county capitals, our city government, okay? Every level of American government, county, state, local, federal, is hopelessly corrupt, must be eradicated in the coming war. Let's not emerge from this war making the same mistakes that are being made going into it. Let's understand our true enemy is government at every level. We need to get rid of the useless politicians, the sponges that leech off our life's blood. We need to get rid of every single bureaucrat. I'm not advocating that we execute these people. I think far better, Sam, would be to strip them of every single asset they have. Turn them out from the courtroom with their clothes on their back, and that's it. They get to go out there and they get to earn an honest dollar for a change. Meanwhile, we take what they have gotten off our taxes. Nancy Pelosi with her hundreds of millions, take all of that and redistribute it to the truly poor. Okay? Reimburse the taxpayers that have supported this leech all their life. Every blue collar worker and the welfare people, they don't get a dime, and we cut them off, but no further punishment. Okay, we need to think about these kinds of things as this war is impending. We need to have our goal set out. Our only goal in this war should be freedom. It shouldn't be freedom and a minimum wage. It shouldn't be freedom and a strong police force. It shouldn't be freedom and a lot of action overseas. No, our only goal
it shouldn't be freedom and but protection of my favorite government program or whatever it be, government school,
absolutely,
whatever it be. It shouldn't be any of those things.
No, it has to be a purely fought war for freedom. Okay, that's one mistake that the founders didn't make too many, but that was one thing that I think they did wrong. They got too distracted with other things, other issues. There were some of them that were bringing in, we need to get rid of slavery at the same time as we have the new country and that sort of thing. We need to focus very clearly. It's going to be for freedom from political government, freedom from every
now,
politician.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear about this. We're not advocating for war. I started the program very intentionally saying, look, we follow the Prince of Peace. We follow Jesus Christ. We want peace. Okay, but you know what? The question is, will they let us restore America peacefully? Will they let us avoid a war? And sadly, I don't think they will. They love power and control too much. And that's the problem.
Yep. You know, Sam, we're kind of like the kid in the schoolyard that the bully will not leave alone. We've kept retreating across the schoolyard. We're saying, just leave us alone. Look, we're not any harm to you. Leave us alone. And the bully will not listen. He's now backed us into a corner, and his fist is coming up to connect with our nose. What do we do? Do we stand there and take it? Or do we say, okay, I got no place else to run. Now I've got to face this, and I've got to fight this guy. Okay? That's where we're at. So if we don't stand up soon, the history of Marxism is replete with people who didn't stand up soon enough. I think of Solzhenitsyn's quote where he said, in the gulags, we all sat there, and I'm paraphrasing wildly. He said it much more eloquently, but in the gulags, we sat there and we wondered, why did we let them come out at night to take us one by one? Why didn't we wait for them? Why didn't we kill them when they came into our buildings? Yeah, we had only hammers and they had guns, but if we had ganged together, if we'd hit them on the head, if we had done anything to preserve our liberty and our lives, and instead we just melted away in front of them. Okay, Marxists are bullies. Bullies don't go away on their own. You have to stand up and confront them. And they see concessions as weakness, not as compromise. Okay, once you concede to them, once you say, okay, I'll give up this liberty if you'll just leave me alone, they keep going for more. This is how bullies operate. We need to recognize this. We need to firmly resolve no more. We need to say, you know what? The January 6th patriots in jail, we're marching today to free them. This is an outrage and a blotch on American freedom that these people are being held incommunicado, being tormented, being tortured, being deprived of legal help, have been held now for 6 to 8 months. Okay? No, no more. No more. We need to stand up and tell these Marxists this is not who we are as a people.
Ladies and gentlemen, if enough of us stand up, we might get a lot of stuff done peacefully. That's the hope. That's the prayer. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake, we shall not lose our liberty. Not on my watch. I'll do everything that I can to preserve liberty with every breath I have, to preserve liberty for myself and for my children and their children and for future generations of Americans. So committed were the founders, and so committed are we. We pray that you will be so committed as well. For Becky Akers and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic of the United States of America.